Today we're going to focus on the blessing of being poor in spirit. And I want to start in a very similar place to where Melissa did, which is to say, when I use the word poor, if I say to you, blessed are the poor, how do you make that equation work? I mean, what comes to your mind? And I thought of very similar things to what Melissa named. I thought of poor test grades or poor grades in school or a poor attitude or a poor person. And with any of those, I struggled to think, well, how does that automatically equate to being blessed, what Jesus said? Or even if you add on what you see here in Matthew, in spirit, poor in spirit, how is that a good thing? I realize Melissa has already answered that question, but she's just good that way. But I thought about when I first read poor in spirit, the thing that came to mind was those pep rallies from high school, right? And well, I probably shouldn't dog my high school. We didn't have a lot of pep at my high school. And I felt so bad for the cheerleaders who came in there and just gave it their all to, like, you know, raise up the pep. And we just all kind of sat there. Now, where my kids went to school, they had spirit. And it just blew me away the first time I saw it. But even thinking about that, poor in, if that's what spirit means, like poor in enthusiasm, how can that be blessed? That's what we're going to look at today. What did Jesus mean, and how could he say that, whether blessed are the poor or blessed are the poor in spirit? How did he make that work, and what was the blessing that he went on to talk about? I want to remind you of the context from the Beatitudes, briefly. At the end of Matthew 4, already, this is early in Jesus' ministry, but already crowds were following him and flocking after him to hear him teach or maybe to see him do a miracle or to see what he was going to do. And so in Matthew 5, he withdraws, as he does from time to time, withdraws from the crowd and just goes up on a mountainside. I mean, the crowd's still nearby, but he's pulled away from them. And his disciples, his followers, have come with them. And Matthew 5 tells us that they sat down, which is teaching mode. It's what you do with a rabbi. You sit at the rabbi's feet and wait for him to teach. And that's what Jesus did. It said he opened his mouth and began to teach them and then said these things. And the reason I name all of that is because it's important. We, if we trust in Jesus and follow him, we are like those disciples sitting at his feet for this teaching. And we're hoping to learn, what does he mean when he talks about blessing? But also recognize that in the background of that class, that teaching time, was the crowd, right? And so that's where we go from here. What does Jesus have to say to us, and what does that have to do with the crowd, the world, the community, our neighbors? So each week when I say, what is the blessing Jesus talks about, and how do we receive that blessing, and then how do we go out to the crowd, to our community, to be a blessing in that way? Well, very similar to what Melissa did, I want to talk about what poor means here. And there's kind of a range of things. Jesus he's lifting words and phrases from that Isaiah passage that we heard at the beginning of the service. So I want to start there, because Isaiah said, God has anointed his servant to proclaim good news to the poor. Except in Isaiah, if you go back to your Old Testament, it probably doesn't say poor. It says either afflicted or lowly. I mean, that's kind of the original sense of this blessing. God was going to send someone to proclaim good news to those who were afflicted. So part of understanding this blessing is understanding it's something that is perhaps undeserved. An affliction is something that falls upon us. We didn't ask for it, but it's something we're having to deal with. Or those who are low, like pressed down by life circumstances. And the blessing is, Jesus, is that he claimed it there in the synagogue. He said, this has come true in your hearing today. He is the one bringing good news to the afflicted. And in Luke, he said to the poor. In fact, there and then in the version of the Sermon on the Mount in Luke, that same phrase, good news to the poor, or blessed are the poor, it just says poor, period. So there's a sense in which Jesus is saying blessed are those who are materially poor. And that is taught in Scripture. Two examples of that in Psalm 112, it says, God-fearing people give freely to the poor, to those who are materially poor. And in Galatians 2:10, Paul is meeting with the apostles in Jerusalem, trying to get their permission and their blessing to go share the good news of Jesus out to the Gentile world. And they finally say, yes, we believe God is with you. Go do it. You and Barnabas take the message to the Gentiles. And then right there in Galatians 2:10, they say, and also remember the poor. So take the good news to the Gentiles and remember the poor while you're at it. So that's a scriptural teaching. But then here in Matthew, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. So Luke says, blessed are the poor. Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And here the sense seems to be what Melissa was describing, those who aren't arrogant about their faith. Maybe Jesus had the Pharisees in mind when he was saying this, but it's the idea of humility in spirit before God, that it's only God's good gift, God's grace, God's mercy that welcomes me in. And I added the other passage today from Matthew 19 because I think it paints a picture of us, for us, of what Jesus meant. We're going to get to this in a minute, but the blessing he said was, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I searched around, did he ever say that anywhere else? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yes, he said it about the children. In Matthew 19, the children were brought to him to bless them, and the disciples tried to send them away, and he rebuked the disciples, and he said, let them come. For such as these children, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So there's something about that childlike, simplistic faith, kind of the opposite of the Pharisees. I've got this whole thing figured out and I'm good with God. I'm righteous. But the ones who realize I need God's help, to them belongs the kingdom of heaven. So which is it? Is it Isaiah? Who's blessed? Is it Isaiah's afflicted? They're blessed. Is it Luke's? The poor are blessed. Is it Matthew? The poor in spirit are blessed? Yes. It's all of those. Sometimes you get, it could either mean this or that, and you have to pick. But the witness of Scripture is that God cares for the materially poor. God loves those who are humble in spirit and knows that they need him. God cares for the afflicted and comforts them. God doesn't answer any of that with the opposite. He doesn't come to the poor and say, well, blessed are you, here's some wealth, or to the poor in spirit and say, here is, you're better than you think, you've won your way in, you're righteous enough, come on in. He doesn't say to the afflicted necessarily, I'm going to take that away. Sometimes he does, but what God offers is comfort in affliction, in his presence, and sometimes deliverance from that. What is consistent among the afflicted, the poor in spirit, is that God is the source of help and comfort and hope and good news. And if we recognize that, I think we're starting to get close to what is the blessing. Why can Jesus say, blessed are the afflicted, blessed are the poor in spirit. So, okay, what is the blessing? He tells us, blessed are these folks who are weighed down, who are pressed on, who are poor in spirit, materially afflicted, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the blessing. It's not salvation. He could have said that, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be saved. But no, he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He talks about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, all the time. That may be the thing that Jesus talks about the most. And what he's saying to those who are afflicted, poor in spirit, is you get to be a part of this thing that I'm announcing. You don't have to be wealthy to be part of God's kingdom. You don't have to be righteous, because none are righteous, right? You don't have to be righteous like the Pharisees to get in. You don't have to have your life together, be healthy to get in. He said, the kingdom of God is for all of you. That's the blessing. Come be a part of God's work in the world. That's the blessing. If you're thinking, okay, But what's the big deal, right? I mean, I come to a church. I'm part of what God's doing, right? If you're thinking, what's the big deal, or if you're kind of uninterested, or if you feel like I already kind of deserve, you know, a seat at God's left back of the bus or something, you know, I'm on God's team, you're missing something critical here. Jesus says the blessing is those who realize, is what Melissa said, those who realize that it is God's good gift that I get to be a part of this amazing and glorious thing that God is doing in the world. That's the original blessing, back with Abraham, right? I'm going to call you out, Abraham, choose you and your children and your people. I'm going to bless you. You didn't deserve it. I'm just going to pour it out on you, and you're going to go bless all the nations, all the people. That's how God does things. And Jesus is saying to this group there on the mountainside, to us, listen, you didn't win your way here. You don't have to impress me. You get to be on the team. You get to be in the kingdom. You get to be a part of this work in the world. And then he's going to say, you see the crowd down there? Go tell them. Welcome them in. Show them the kingdom. That's preaching the good news to the poor. I also remembered one other scene. It actually happens after this, so like many of us, the disciples didn't get it on the first take. There is, towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, a scene where the disciples are arguing about who's the best. Jesus loves me the most, right? I'm the best. I'm one of the three. I get to do all the cool stuff. I'm the best disciple. And Jesus hears this or realizes it or comes in, and his response to which one of you is the greatest is to take off his cloak and don the towel and wash their feet and show them humility and service. This is the Maundy Thursday thing. It's the commandment from that Thursday, the night before his death. And he says, go and do likewise. Go to the crowd and show them what it means to love and to serve. You know, wherever you want to look in the storyline, that's the good news that God proclaims through Jesus, is this kingdom, this being a part of what God's doing, it is for all who will come. We, in our announcement prelude section, we had that song, All Who Are Thirsty, right? The blessing is, realize that we all are thirsty and that God says, come, drink. I have living water. I have life. Last week and each week of this series, I want to give you a blessing challenge. And it's this, to each Sunday when you hear this message or hear the scripture, identify, try to name for yourself one way in which God has blessed you. Now, it may be the one that we talk about. So it may be today you realize, I am afflicted, I am poor in spirit, and that God says, that doesn't keep you from me. In fact, come on in, be a part of my kingdom and my work. So it may be you say, yeah, today's is the one I want to claim. Or maybe that one doesn't quite click with you and you want to think of another. But I challenge you to think of a way that God has blessed you. And then this week, look for an opportunity to share that blessing, extend that blessing to at least one other person. Because that's the breathe in and breathe out of this, right? God has blessed us to be a blessing. And then I'm going to add one more step. And you can leave this off if you want. I would love to hear about it. If you do this, and it doesn't have to be spectacular, right? The sun doesn't have to stop moving in the sky when this happens. It could be super simple. I just, you know, the lady behind me in the grocery store was obviously having a bad day, and I just spoke to her. I would love to hear about it. It can be anonymous. I don't have to put your face up on the screen or your name, but I would love to hear these stories and be able to share them anonymously as encouragement back to the congregation to say, this is what it looks like to be God's blessing people, right? To recognize God's blessing in my life and to share that with others. And that's one of the chief reasons God's put the church on the earth, is to be a blessing people.